You know, we're talking about basically God working out His plan in our life. And that's what the whole thing has been about in different facets of that. And we talked about the role of the family last week. And how when God calls us to do something, and He has called us all to do something. Some people say, well, I believe that person has a call of God on their life. Well, what they mean is maybe they're talking about a certain ministry thing. But He's called us all. We're all His children. He's given us all something to do. Well, in that, whoever you have around you, whoever is in your circle of influence, specifically your family, whether that's your spouse, your children, you know, if you're a child, that's your parents, that's your siblings, whatever you do affects them. And the family's built like that. It's made that. It's a support system. And so we don't do anything that God called us to do in isolation. And we talked about that, and I want to go a little bit further on that. Because when we talk about, you know, we've been talking about kind of individually, this goes individually, but individually, God has something for each of us to do. And like we've said, God, is if we'll just look to Him, He'll bring us along in stages, in steps. You don't have to arrive tomorrow, thank God. You don't have to get to your end destination tomorrow. You don't have to grow up completely tomorrow. He's working with us in stages. But so He does that. He helps us as we look to Him. He knows what needs to do to be changed to get us. He knows the end. He knows the end from the beginning. He'll move us along. And we've talked about the different facets of that. Well, as we're doing that, and that's going on in our lives, that's the same thing is happening with our spouse. If we have children, if we're in a family, with our siblings. And see, so it's not in isolation. And we never want to get to where it's, well, God's called me to do this, so get out of the way. I have to follow the call of God and forget my family. Because God's got a call for them too. And if you're an adult and you have children, your children's star is directly linked to yours. Wherever you're going, they're going by default. They don't have a choice in the matter. And God's working with them from the time, just like He did with you, from the time they were born up. They're His children too. So that's just their early years under you. They're growing up. So if we get the idea, well, God's called me to do this, and I got to do this, and you know, get out of the way. I got to pray. I got to do this. Yeah, you may have to pray and everything, but if you're in a family, they're important. You got to make sure they're on the right page and they're being brought along. Do you hear what I'm saying? In other words, we don't ever use God as an excuse or the call of God to neglect our family in any way. God instituted, like we said last week, when God created Adam and Eve, there was nobody to minister to. They didn't need to believe for anything. And like we talked about, prayer. They just walked with God in the garden. They had everything. So many things that we think we're called to, maybe that we've made ministry in this day, well, God is, you know, it's all about this or that, or if you can, how your ministry looks, or if you, you know, all these programs. It did not exist there. But there was a family. That family's first. Relationship with God, family. And like we said, I'm repeating a little bit, we're not going to repeat the whole thing, we're going to go further, but when we talk about ministry, what are we talking about? We're talking about, that means service, really. And what are you talking about in general? You're serving people. If people say, well, I have a big ministry, what are they saying? I impact a lot of people. Well, if I'm impacting a lot of people out there, but I have people under my roof and I'm not impacting them, what's the point? Those are the most important people in my life. And I'm going to neglect them to reach these people's family and to spend extra hour getting these people all in line while my family is not taken care of. That's not right. And this is not a condemnation thing. I'm saying the devil will try to get us out there and do that. Because if he can't get you to slow down on the ministry, he'll push you. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to get you to stop, so I'm going to kick you. Oh, you better go for it, buddy. You better keep going, and he'll drive you right into the ground. God never drives. He leads. He's the good shepherd. If you ever feel driven, it's not God. Period. You can see, cattle are driven. Sheep are led. We're sheep. We're led. God, you'll see God out in front. He knows how to lead you. Not speaking on this today, but I'll insert it anyway. When you're being led by God, He knows how to lead you. He knows how to get things across to you. You imagine a group of kindergartners. They're going to go down to the park from their school. Let's say, you know, they want to take a field trip. You ever been there? We did it in elementary school last week of school. Man, we looked forward to it. We had Sunny Slope Elementary. We're going to go across over to where this park was. It wasn't that far, but boy, it seemed far when you're in second grade or third grade. And that was the day I got a lunchbox and I would get to have Hostess cupcakes or Hostess pies the one time of the year. My mom would pack that stuff, you know, and we looked forward to it. Man, all day, get to go with the teachers and hang out. Anybody else ever done that? They don't do that out here? I don't know. Man, it was awesome. I was just talking to a gal at work, and she was saying, yeah, we did that. That was the one time she got Hostess stuff, because anyway, it was funny. So that you imagine, let's say you had a group of kindergartners, and you're going to the park. Now, if the teachers go, okay, kindergartners, here's a map. Here's how you're going to get there. We'll meet you there. We're going to take a car. We'll get there. Here's how you get there. Now go. What do you think would happen? You know darn well what would happen. Those kids, they're not going to go anywhere. No, what are those teachers going to do? Okay, kids, there's going to be one in the back, one in the front, maybe one on the sides. However many, they're going to make sure those kids get where they need to go. They're going to shield them in. No, Johnny, get over here. No, come. Oh, hey, Stephen, come on. Come on, Becky. No, come here. We're going to get them to where they go. If they don't do that, they might get locked up in jail for negligence if one of those children gets run over or something, right? But we think with God, oh, He's just going to let us go. And, oh, well, we'll see you there. Hey, you run. Here's your assignment. Go, buddy. No. He knows how to get us there. I mean, we may think we're something. We may have got an idea. We know we're mature Christians. But we're babies compared to God Almighty. We're just like kindergartners, if that. I'm not saying we're not growing spiritually, but considered compared to the Almighty, the everlasting one, He knows a thing or two more than us. So He's going to say, oh, no, Jim, come on. He'll put bumpers. You ever played bowling? You know, you get the bumpers in, then you can just do it. There's bumpers. He'll put bumpers in your life, so you'll just keep going the same way. He's a good God. But He will lead us. And He'll make it clear. That's why if you go too fast, you can't see Him. You get in front of Him. Now it's you. No, you want to slow down. If you're going too slow, He'll make it clear. You'll be able to see where you're going. Oh, no, it's over here. Okay, just why, like someone said, if you want to run, walk. If you want to walk, crawl. If you want to crawl, stop. Just take your time. So we're talking about families. God won't drive you. The devil will drive you. If he can't get you to sit in your seat and do nothing, if you start getting out, all right, buddy, we're going that way. Let's go and let's keep going. Oh, you better get out there. You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. You better pray more. You better study more because you know you got a big call of God in your life. What does that sound like? Pride? Mm-hmm. You have a big call of God on better than everybody else. That's what He'll tell you. No, we're servants of Almighty God, children of Almighty God, Jesus. We let Him do the work, and if we'll just follow Him, He'll lead us, He'll guide us, He'll let us, and our family won't be neglected. People around us will get to their destination the way they ought to, because after all, the call on them is just as important as the call on you, right? Aren't they children of God too? Mm-hmm. Alienate our siblings, even if we're adults, we don't live by them anymore. But, you know, alienate everybody because they think we're just weird. Now, people may think you're weird because you believe what you believe. I mean, yeah, that's one thing. But don't give them just unnecessary reason. Cut them off, act all, I mean, you know, just act completely weird at family events. They don't, don't do that. I mean, we don't need to give the devil more ammo than he's already. He's going to make it. He's going to tell him you're weird anyway. You don't need to give him unnecessary ammo to do that. No, we want to love them just like Jesus would. And Jesus had all kinds of people in his house. He just chilled with them, brought them over. So with our families, it's a little different when they're adults, you're adults, but you know, hey, I just can't be there, man. I'm called. Oh, I can't be around that. You know, I'm holy. Well, some of that's just religion. Jesus was around a whole lot of junk, and they called him on it. The Pharisees are the ones that called him on it. Jesus got in their face. I'm not advocating sin. I'm not advocating making people your best friends and going and doing stuff you shouldn't. No. But we are in the world. We're not of it. Well, there's some things that Jesus, he didn't just shut himself off from everybody. Go, oh, no, I'm too holy for you. I can't do, oh, no, don't get that in my way. I mean, he was with people that were doing totally bad stuff, but he was just right with them. He could get right next to them. It didn't bother him. Mm-hmm. He could walk with rich people. He could walk with poor people. He could walk with the worst sinner, and he was not uncomfortable. He didn't need this fake shield around him to try to make him feel secure and, well, I can't be around your type. You might get off on me. That's fear. That's being led by fear, not faith. That's being, well, I don't want to do that. So we want to keep in mind that it's not all about us, that as we're walking, we're bringing people along with us, whether it's our adult family, whether it's our parents, man. Can you imagine if they're your parents and they don't believe like you do? For you preaching at them, they knew you when you didn't know them. You know, with the rattle and everything, and they knew us. So we have to use wisdom in dealing with people in the love of God and go along the way He would, and not just keep it self-centered. So let's just. We'll read Philippians 1:6 just because we're starting there. We've read it. We'll read it again today. Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6, verse 3. We'll just go to 3 like we have. I thank my God upon... Does everybody have a scripture sheet that wants one or need... Well, does everybody have one?
Yes.
Okay. Because there's some stuff on there that's different translation. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you could say that in the context then, and he's going to complete it in my mate. Till the day of Jesus Christ, and he's going to complete it in my children until the day of Jesus Christ. He is doing this in my family. He is working in us all. So give other people a break. You haven't arrived. They haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. Hey, we're all getting there. We're works in progress. But when you look at that, just think, hey, you know, I heard Gloria Clopin say something once. Boy, she was just getting, she said she was just getting burdened down. Her son, John, was into a bunch of stuff. And, you know, just kind of maybe a little bit unruly or whatever. And she was just getting fretting about it. And I think they were on the other end, the other side of the world. And at a meeting, and she was wondering about her son. And was just getting worried. And the devil was just heaping it on. And she was just going to God about it. And just thinking about her children. And God told her, my mercy hovers over your children. My mercy hovers over your children. And she said it just calmed her down. She just had this picture. God's mercy, even with her son John, just hovering over. Just looking over. Looking out for him, that hey, Gloria, chill out. That's my child too. You love him, but he's my child. I love him. My mercy hovers over your children. And so we just say that over our children. Just thank God. It's just this picture, beautiful picture of God's there. God's there. His mercy is hovering over our kids because this verse applies to them. He's completing it in them. And I'm telling you, we pray for them. You pray according to the word, like what we're talking about, that God would open the eyes of their understanding. Man, things change. God is dealing. God's not finished. God's moving us along. And she said that just settled her. She said, I haven't touched it since. That just settled me. Man, she goes, when the devil tries to bring something, mercy of God hovers over my children. Thank God. And she calm. That was years ago. That was years ago for her when I heard it, and that was years ago. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? But He cares for us. He cares for us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God takes care. He's looking out for us. He's looking out for our families. And part of that job, if we're parents or if we're a spouse, it's our job to look out for them too. We're in covenant. We're in covenant. We're in covenant. And so we look out for each other. We make sure that we're not letting the devil in where he doesn't need to be. You know, don't open the door by neglecting your spouse and call it God. Like I mentioned last, one of my instructors, he said when he got married, that God told him, he said, now don't go and take her time and give it to me. Don't go and say, I got to spend, sorry, honey, I know we were supposed to hang out, but I got to pray. You know, you understand that, right? I got to pray. I mean, after all, it's God. He said, don't do that. You find the time, you organize your schedule, you do what you need to do, and you take care of your wife. The same goes for our children. We don't use God as an excuse to neglect our kids. We're to train them up. We're to be there for our spouse, and our spouse has, you know, needs to spend time with us, to have good time. God doesn't need us to change the whole world. He's given us a specific call, and if we'll walk with Him, man, things will go well. But that doesn't mean we just cut off the natural. While we're here on this earth, we're a natural person. We read this. I think we'll get further than we did last week, but Deuteronomy 6, thank God. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts and of your house and on your gates. Now that's the New King James, which I'm reading out of my scripture on your sheets, the New International. Let's read it there. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. See, if they're to be on your hearts, that automatically goes, if you're married, you're already talking about them. They're in your life. Impress, now this is Old Testament, this is the word they had. Now we have the word, this means the word of God. It's not defunct, this applies to us. These commandments I give you today, just you know, the word of God, what God's counsel is, His statutes, that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. You could say, like we said, when you're driving, talk about them. When you're taking a walk with your kids, when you're at the ball game, you know, when you're going on the way to some recreational activity, you're going out to eat. Doesn't mean you got to be, you know, completely weird and just shut everything else out. But no, it's a lifestyle. We talk about the things of God with them. They can see it in us. Our spouse, it's to be that we're just sharing, just getting from each other. Just a give and a take. As parents, we're to be the examples to our kids. You know, somebody once said this. One of our neighbors of ours. Her kids were in their 20s. 20s, early 30s, and you know, she knew what we were doing with the church and everything, and she's like, well, I just don't want to influence. I don't want to box them in and tell them what to think. I just don't want, I want to let them make their own choice just like I made my choice. And I don't want to make them, you know, I just don't want to box them in. And you look at her kids, guess what? You know, she doesn't go to church, she didn't have anything to do with it. Guess what they're like? Same thing. They followed their parent in the same way. She didn't put any emphasis on it. I'll just let them find it. Guess what they found? Same thing. Same thing. They got trained up in the way that they should go. I mean, in the bad sense. They got trained up. Everybody's getting trained one way or another. So it is our responsibility that whatever we do, it's our example that they're going to be following. And we want to just share the word with them. We're not really talking about, you know, parenting specifically today, but it's just to be a lifestyle so our kids, we have time we're supposed to put into them, we're supposed to put in our spouse so that we can all get at the destination together. Proverbs 22:6, you don't have to turn there, but it's on your sheet. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, it's easy, I think, if we're looking at ourselves to get concerned with what God is doing in our life, and well, I understand God, and I know where I'm at with God, and I'm going to start running that way. It's not as easy because you have to look outside yourself to take somebody else with you. It's easy to think you get a revelation, and you see something, and well, I see this in the Bible, and okay, spouse, you know, okay, wife or husband, can't you see this? Let's do it. Everything's changing today. We're doing it this way now. Well, if they do the same thing to you, you don't necessarily like that. So why do we think that if something, all of a sudden we see it, that they have to jump up and, okay, now they're going to jump up and down. They're going to go for it. Well, it's a process. And if we're patient and we walk like, Jesus is, man, you didn't see it yesterday. God's been trying to get that through to you for, you know, 5-10 years, and you got it. Now you think everybody else ought to get it, right? Yeah. Well, hey, God's working with them just like he's working with us. Man, cut them some slack, right? I've been there. I've done what I'm talking about, so I know. Shelly, come on. We got to do this. And she's just like, Jim, chill out. You know, so, no, we've been there. I'm not preaching at you. I know. I have a tendency. But, hallelujah. God is so good. He's so patient with us. And if we'll just say, hey, yeah, I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to be like, as much like him. And we just go on. We'll enjoy a relationship. Hallelujah. And they'll get to where they're supposed to go, and they'll see, and they may see some things you don't see. So it goes both ways. They just may not say anything. they're walking this out. Hallelujah. Praise God. So much here, but it's like we just scratched the surface. Let's just wait a minute, see if we need to see anything else. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just read a couple scriptures, because I don't know that we're going to, you know, stay on this next week. So we'll just read some of these scriptures. This on your sheet there. We read some of the middle scriptures last week. Let's read Titus 2. It says, but as for you, notice the thing that Paul's emphasizing in the church right here. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands. What's the first thing he's saying that the older women should do? To admonish. To love. To what? So you say they admonish the young woman to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. That doesn't mean you do everything they say. That means that he's the head of the home, the final say, just like a CEO. We're not going there today. It doesn't mean you're some servant. Like, people have got that out of whack. But it is in there. There is a proper role. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Notice that. He said all this natural stuff so that what? People aren't going to say, oh yeah, those Christians, look at them. And look at their family. Look at the way they treat their families. so that they wouldn't blaspheme God. No, we want to be models, examples. Now, I'm called to the ministry, so I have everything else in a shamble. No. We ought to be just, whatever we're doing, we ought to be models as far as spending time and taking care of the people that God's entrusted to us. Verse 6, likewise, exhort the young man to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Let's just read through these last couple, and we'll close. Now, 1 Timothy 5, now she who is really a widow, left alone, trusts God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So what's he talking about? He's talking about somebody that's a widow. He said their family, she's really a widow, her family should take care of them. Well, if you should take care of a widow, how much more the people that are actually in your household? So we're just running through some of this stuff. No, we should take care of the people that are dependent on us. And I'm just going to touch on this last one. You can look at these more at home, if you so desire. Matthew 19:28. Said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit life. Now, so some people would use this to say, see, we're leaving, we're putting aside the family and going to serve God. That's not what it's talking about. You don't put aside your family and go serve. I've heard people believe this, people that I've known relatively close, they neglected their family and they stood on this verse. See, you're going to put God, sometimes God just calls you and you just got to put your family aside. No, he does not. Like we said earlier, our family is our first calling. What is this saying? And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit life. If there's things you need to do, be away from your family. Be away because, you know, Brother Hagin, he traveled. He did not want to be away from Aretha. He drug his heels. He wanted to stay a pastor. He had it the best he had it for a long time. His church was doing well, and he was like, I just want to stay here. I don't want to go out and travel. And God dealt with him on that because that's what he was called to do, and he tried to stop. But that was the call of God on him. Now, did he neglect his family? No. He made sure they were taken. He would drive all night. He was close. Like in Texas, he was doing a meeting. He was close somewhat to the house. He would get done with the meeting at night, drive literally all night to have a meal with them, and then go on and drive to the next place just to have a meal with them. So no, it's not talking about neglecting or using an excuse to somehow put the quote-unquote ministry, whatever that calling is, whatever we all have a calling, like we've said, whatever it is, and say, well, no, I just have to do this, I have to do that, and it's all in God's name. No, it's not. So, I mean, we've already said a lot of these things. I just wanted to read those scriptures to kind of close the loop. And let's read Luke just a little bit different way it said. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brother. Now, I mean, literally, see, is he saying you're going to leave your wife or children? Is that God, you know, divorce your wife and children and leave? No, that's not what he's saying. You have to leave house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God? No. He's not talking about putting them away. You're still, all these other verses we've read would still apply. You're taking care of what needs to be taken care of. But if God puts you in a position, his grace will be there. to take you through it and to take your children through it. Don't go by your head. Go by your heart and what he, if he's put you in a position, if he's put you in a place, the grace will be there for your family to be taken care of. Don't try to talk, don't try to rationalize it. So it says, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many more times in this present time in the age of eternal life. Hallelujah. God wants us to enjoy this life. He wants our families to enjoy this life. Thank God. Just live life to the full in every way, and he's going to bring us all along together. Amen.